You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hainaut Baba. Across the country, there are about 1.3 million homeless kids in our schools. The greatest number live in California, and research shows that not having a fixed address really impacts how students fare in the classroom. A little-known federal law called the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act is tailored to helping those kids succeed. This year, the law got even stronger, but the bad news is, in many districts, it's been chronically underfunded from the get-go, so many families and youth have no idea what their rights are. The Oakland Unified School District has seen a huge increase in its homeless students over the last year, but the district is also in the midst of a major budget crisis, and funding for homeless kids is not expected to grow. KALW's education reporter Lee Romney introduces us to one family that could use the help.
Nassim Bennett is getting ready for his first day of fifth grade. He can't find his bubblegum toothpaste, so he has to use the adult stuff.
That really stings the mouth.
It sounds like a typical domestic scene, but this isn't Nassim's house. He and his mom, Raquel Allenby, sleep in his great-grandmother's living room.
Is your grandma sleeping?
Yeah, she's sleeping.
Okay. Yeah, so I figured you guys have to be kind of quiet.
Yeah.
In the morning.
Yeah.
Is this where you sleep?
This is where I sleep, and he sleeps in the air mattress.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then you put everything away in the morning, or?
Got to.
This is for today.
And they get up really early. It's 6 a.m., but Nassim's 22 miles and three counties away from his school. For years, Raquel and Nassim lived in North Oakland, with Nassim's two sisters, Mr. Spooky the cat, and Cujo the chihuahua. Last fall, they got evicted from their Oakland apartment, Raquel says wrongfully. It's hard for her to use the word, but they became homeless.
Nassim is the main one that I worry about because I know when he's stressed out.
There's a lot of research that concludes students who lose their housing, even briefly, perform more poorly in school. They're often late or miss days. They're less likely than any other group to graduate. Nassim's had anxiety attacks, temper tantrums, and lots of stress eating. Early this year, he and his mom had no choice but to come here, to his great-grandma's one-bedroom apartment near a leafy park in South San Francisco.
And traveling from here all the way to Oakland, and then go Oakland, and then back here.
The back and forth, that's so Nassim can stay in the same Oakland school where he's been since kindergarten, where they know him and care about him.
Where are my Pokemon cards?
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious.
You cannot bring me to school, honey.
It's only 6:30 in the morning, but Nassim loads up his backpack.
All right, so we gotta start on Harry. Let me get my card.
Pops, you need your jacket.
I always forget that.
Pops. That's one of Raquel's nicknames for her son. He grabs his beat-up scooter with the busted handlebars to get to the BART station, more than a mile away.
She's not bad. Neither she's not good.
The whole trip to school will take nearly 2 hours. They take a jogger's path to the station, teasing and goofing along the way.
What is the name of the vegetable kung fu master?
Broccoli!
His broccoli.
Raquel is a mom who knows how to prioritize her kids' education. Her oldest daughter is at UC Berkeley. She's got big hopes for Nassim, too, which is why she wants him to have some continuity at school, even though they're homeless right now.
I don't want to be, like, integrate Nassim into the schools here, and then we gotta transfer again. I want them to keep the same friends and associates at the school as long as he can.
Keeping Nassim in the same school, it turns out that's actually Raquel's legal right. 3 decades ago, President Ronald Reagan signed the McKinney-Vento Homeless Assistance Act into federal law. The big picture idea, to provide stability. The law guarantees that kids who have lost their fixed housing can stay at the school they've been attending. It guarantees other rights, too, like help with transportation costs to and from school. Raquel and Nassim could really use that.
What's it say, 340? Does it have B on it?
When Raquel and Nassim get to BART, it's time for an uncomfortable ritual. Raquel asks Nassim to run through the emergency gate.
And you go through the emergency.
Come on.
I keep saying that's the last time.
But it's never the last time.
It costs, like I said, it costs $400 a month.
Nassim's situation is not unusual. Last year, the Oakland Unified School District saw an increase of more than 50% in its homeless student tally, almost 1,600 kids. And those are just the families the district knows about. This is Trish Anderson, the district's new McKinney-Vento liaison. She just took over this fall.
When you think about the number of people in that situation in Oakland right now with the housing crisis, that number is bound to be larger than it was in the past, in previous years.
The law says districts have to work with school sites to identify students who've lost their housing. They're supposed to spread the word at soup kitchens and shelters and motels and laundromats so families know what they're entitled to, staying in their home school, enrolling without proof of an address, getting transportation help, and additional supports like school supplies and clothes, referrals to dental care, housing, and other services. But there's a big gap between what the law promises and what it delivers. Oakland Unified's Trish Anderson is just one person with a caseload of 1,600. The district's funding? It stayed flat for the past 3 years. And it's not projected to grow this year. And Oakland hasn't gotten additional money for homeless kids from the state since 2011.
So you're having to serve more families with less
money. Yes.
Here at Emerson Elementary School, it's clear Nassim has deep bonds.
It's a trading card game. Hi, Miss Brooke.
Hi, good morning.
All right.
Is Miss B here?
Nope.
Do you know?
I haven't seen her.
She retired.
Some members of the school team figured out that Nassim lost his housing last year when he started showing up late. They offered him counseling, and a coach gave Nassim some clothes and a new Xbox since he lost a lot of stuff in the eviction. But even at schools that are doing a lot to help homeless students, many school employees aren't that familiar with the McKinney-Vento law. Principal Heather Palin.
I wouldn't say necessarily that there's a lot of training, but most people here have been doing this work long enough and understand the signs pretty quickly.
That lack of training, it's a problem. The principal couldn't talk about the specifics of Nassim's case for privacy reasons. But it turns out, the school didn't report him as homeless to the McKinney-Vento office last year. Cases like this mean that Oakland's numbers aren't accurate. That can affect funding. More importantly, it means no one really spelled out for Raquel her rights under federal law or the services that the district can provide. Starting this year, the state's lone McKinney-Vento coordinator is supposed to step up training for district liaisons like Trish Anderson. In turn, Trish is required to make sure school site personnel, from principals on down, get trained in the law too, so that these kids are flagged and plugged into supports. Meanwhile, every single school district in the country will have to publicly report achievement, suspension, and graduation rates for homeless students to shine a brighter light on how they're doing and whether they're getting the support they need. But right now, plenty fall through the cracks. Parents like Raquel are often too proud to admit their circumstances. And because they don't fully understand their rights, they're fearful, too, that their kids might be told they can't stay in their school. When Raquel enrolls Nassim, she puts her old Oakland address on the form, just to be safe. Nassim's been in high spirits all morning, but his mood starts to shift.
I feel like I just got spiked in the stomach for some reason.
In class, Nassim puts his head on his desk. His teacher, Miss Grill, leans down close to check in.
How are you doing, Nassim?
I don't know.
You don't know? Is today feeling a little hard, the first day back at school? You're hungry?
Nassim takes a pass on the yogurt and apple the school provides for breakfast. So Miss Grill reaches into her personal snack bag.
I have a banana. Would you like a banana? Yeah.
Oakland Unified's Trish Anderson tells me that that first week of school, her drop-in center was packed. She fixed it up with a donated sofa and comfortable chairs, decorated the walls, and got to work writing letters to tap the private sector for help.
We're trying to coordinate something with My Red Shoes. It's a nonprofit agency that will provide shoes and maybe a gift card for uniforms and clothing for back to school. Feed the Children sends us our backpacks. There was an organization, K to College, that offered the school supplies. Oh, don't think I haven't thought about approaching Uber or Lyft, right? The transportation, the new transportation experts to ask about donations from them. I'm on it.
Asking the community to pitch in, that's the best hope for many districts to even come close to complying with the revamped McKinney-Vento law. Trish arranged to have AC Transit bus passes dropped off at school for Nassim and Raquel, since Raquel works full-time as a janitor now and can't get to the drop-in center. It turns out that other than salaries and overhead, the entire district budget for homeless students goes towards those bus passes and doesn't even cover that need.
Around April, we're running out of funding for transportation.
As for help with BART, Nassim and Raquel are on their own. By the time Nassim gets back to his great-grandmother's house in South San Francisco, he and his mom are exhausted. It's almost 8 p.m. They've been out of the house for nearly 14 hours. Raquel worries that Nassim's not getting enough sleep to focus in school. And there's trauma that's harder to see.
When we lost our home, Nassim lost his peace and quiet, his privacy, our pets. So it was just really hard for him. I don't think he will ever feel comfortable at someone else's house because it's not his.
Raquel loves to dream about the home she'll share with her son again one day. But Nassim doesn't want to play that game.
Do you want your own room again one day?
Yeah.
What do you miss about that? You don't want to say, huh?
Raquel thinks Nassim just can't go there right now, that he's not confident he'll ever have his own space. I'm Lee Romney for Cross Currents.